Hey, I'm Jim Richards, and today we're going to take another step in this thing about learning how to pray New Covenant prayer. I'm telling you, by now you've got to realize that everything is different, and by now you've got to be realizing that you have authority that you didn't know you had. Now you know how to use it. Today we're going to be talking about establishing the kingdom in your life, or kingdom living now, however you want to approach it, or however you want to say it. But the point is we want to be able to have kingdom rule in our life. We want to be able to have kingdom benefits in our life. And Jesus taught us how to do this. He taught us the way to approach this. And so get ready, get your pencil, get your paper, send an email to everybody, send somebody a Facebook message, send this link to everybody you know, because I'm telling you something, this is going to take you to a whole new level in understanding how to have kingdom living right now in any circumstance. You know, if you've read my book about moving invisible boundaries, or if you've done heart physics, or really if you've been exposed to much of anything that I've taught, you come to understand that the kingdom of God is internal, is not external. And the only way to connect with the kingdom of God, and remember, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, this is not what we enter into after we die. This is what we enter into when we go into our heart and connect with God in our heart. And some rabbis say that one of those terms speak of the realm that we enter into, and that another one of those terms speaks of the provision that's within those realms. And so when we enter into the kingdom of God in our heart, this is where we enter into experiencing the provision that is promised to us in the kingdom realm. Now, the kingdom is in us, so we don't really need to try to establish the kingdom out externally in the earth. We just need to establish our hearts in the kingdom. And when we live in the kingdom, then the kingdom is being established on earth. Almost everything we've done as a church, you know, for 2,000 years has been based on trying to establish the kingdom externally, and I understand we minister to other people, we get people saved. Yes, I get that. As long as we're influencing people's hearts, then that's how we expand the kingdom. But in reality, I can only establish the kingdom when I establish the kingdom in my heart. The keys to the kingdom that we talked about, I think, last week. You know, this is something that I use, but I open that door in my heart, because that's where all of God's provision flows through. So in teaching us how to pray, Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And really, as you look at the following topics, it seems that he's talking to us more about establishing kingdom rule in our lives first. You see, we have the authority to establish the kingdom in the world around us. But we've talked about that. You know, the first thing we have to do is we have to harmonize heaven and earth. In other words, we have to know what was accomplished to the cross. We have to be fully committed to the fact that is God's will for planet Earth. Secondly, we've got to believe it in our heart. We've got to be immovable in our heart. And then thirdly, we've got to believe that those things that we say come to pass. And then, of course, we've got to make sure that if we begin to doubt, we immediately bring ourselves back to stability. And again, I talk about this in all of my teaching about the heart, and my book, Moving Your Invisible Boundaries. I talk about this. So most of you that have been listening for a long time, you understand what I'm talking about. Now, Jesus taught us in establishing the kingdom that we have to establish the kingdom really first in our own lives. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things that you need will be added to you." So we learned last week that Jesus said, look, don't pray about all this stuff that you need. That's not really important. God can take care of that. If you establish your heart in kingdom living, you just find and come upon and discover the things that you need serendipitously. In other words, you're not trying to get stuff. You're living life and following God, and you find stuff that you need for abundant living all along this pathway of just following Jesus as your Lord. Now, one of the most important things I think I've seen in Scripture is that in order for me to establish the kingdom in the world around me, I've got to first make sure I'm seeing everything from God's point of view, and specifically, I've got to be seeing me from God's point of view. But you see, this means that many times I've got things going on in my life. I'm upset. I'm distracted. I've got pressures on me. I've got pain in my body. I've got fatigue issues. I've got relationship conflicts, whatever is going on. And I've got to recover sight. I've got to come back to the place where I see things from God's perspective. You know, when the Bible talks about the glory of God, one of the concepts of the glory of God, I mean, it's the greatness, it's the splendor, it's the brightness, it's all of these things that God really is. But you see, one of the concepts of the glory of God is based on the fact that God has a reality that in His realm He experiences, and we can enter into that realm and we can see and experience God's reality, but that means we're going to have to surrender our reality. That means that we can't be ruled by the reality that we pick up through our five senses. We've got to live by the reality that we discover in our heart, and that's what God wants us to do. And in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to them that are blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, in this passage where He talks about recovering sight to the blind, and we've talked about this many, many times, but in this message, I've got to repeat this. This is absolutely essential that you capture this. In this particular passage, He's not talking about opening literal blind eyes. Now, there's plenty of other scriptures that show that Jesus opened blind eyes, so I'm not at all disagreeing with that or refuting that. But in this passage of scripture, Jesus is talking about people who are oppressed, people who need to hear good news, people who need their broken heart mended, people who are bound up and overcome by the indebtedness of life around them, if you will. You know, the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament was all about money. Now, in the New Covenant, all of the external things of the Old Covenant, while they still have external values for us, we need to understand them internally. Otherwise, we'll just reject it all as legalism or as law, and we'll miss what God's trying to teach us. Well, the year of Jubilee was the year that all debts are forgiven. And it's really a type of not only what we have in Jesus as far as all of our sins being forgiven, but in this passage of Scripture, Jesus links experiencing the forgiveness that God has for us as really being free from what I call the emotional debt. And the emotional debt is the damage that has been done to our heart that causes us to become captive, that causes us to grope about in darkness, as you will. And one of the essential things in order for this to happen, you got to hear the good news, and He talked about that. You got to get your broken heart healed. He talked about that. You've got to be set free from captivity. And this captivity is talking about a prison. This is not talking about demonic captivity. This is talking about sitting in a dark prison. So literally with the door open, but see, you can't see that it's open because you're in the darkness and you're blind. And he's referring to passages of Scripture from the book of Isaiah. So what's got to happen is you've got to recover sight. You've got to be able to see things as they are. Now, in the book of Mark, the 6th chapter, about the 38th verse, we have Jesus where He's getting ready to feed the 5,000. We mentioned this just a couple of weeks ago. And He's got 5,000 men, and he's got five baskets or loaves of bread, and He's got two fish. So He gathers all the people, all the women and children, has them sit down in groups. He looks down out here at His provision. He looks out there at the circumstance. And I'm telling you, if He was tempted and always like as we are, and He was, He had to have a moment where He could have given in to unbelief. He could have given in to, most things are possible, but this is not possible. And that's what we do. We look at our circumstances, and somehow we think that whatever we're facing right now is more impossible than something else. We think this disease is harder to heal than a simple cold. We think that this amount of money is harder for God to bring us into than $5 we need to pay somebody back. You know, we look at the size of the problems. We look at the Goliaths instead of looking at the God that's able to deliver us. And so the Bible says that Jesus, it says that He looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples. And as you know, they had more than enough. Now, the key thing is this phrase where it says that he looked up literally says he recovered sight by looking to heaven. And it's the exact same Greek word that's used over in the book of Luke. So you see, in order for Jesus to have the confidence to really to enter into the kingdom realm in that situation, to bring forth God's provision in that situation, first, he had to recover sight. So many times we act like we are operating faith. Really, we're in panic, we're in fear, we're in desperation, we're being driven by all these negative emotions, but we're calling it faith. Well, now, faith is when you are immovable. It's when your heart and your mind are in harmony with the Word of God, with the new covenant, which means that your emotions and your feelings are going to be harmonized and in line with the new covenant. So when Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to establish ourselves under kingdom rule. You see, we want to see things from God's perspective. We want to look at the world. We always want to see God's possibility in every situation. We want to trust that God's big enough. We want to trust that God's able to deal with whatever we've got to deal with. But you see, you can't see things from God's perspective when you're overwhelmed by circumstances. Whenever life is beating you down, whenever people around you are oppressing you, whenever you don't have enough money, whenever you're in pain, whenever you're in fatigue, then your attention is going to be on the world around you, and you're going to interpret the possibilities based on your five senses. And I'm telling you, when you do that, you're gone. You're in trouble. And even though you may be able to connect with God occasionally, it's probably not going to happen very often. And remember, I talked to you last week about what I have learned to practice, you've got to decide for yourself what to practice, but I'm just saying what I've learned to practice is to connect with God until I come to the place of peace. And then when I come to the place of peace, then I want to deal with any of my personal issues that might be causing me to have a perverted view or a twisted view of the situation. So, see, you can't really see things from God's perspective until, first of all, you've harmonized your view and opinion with his view and opinion, until you've connected with him personally, till you've brought heaven and earth into agreement, and you're flowing in this sense of his power. See, that's when you can establish the kingdom in your life. So he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we don't have to wonder what his will is. His will is any of the promises of God being yes, all of the curses being no. And it's really interesting. He immediately takes us into dealing with what seem to be the two greatest sources of destruction in our lives. You see, I think that in order to establish the kingdom, we've got to deal with and be open to resolving these things on a daily basis. You know, the Bible tells you, don't go to bed angry. It says, when you go to bed angry, it says you give place to the devil in your life. There are a lot of things God tells us about managing our life, and it's not about earning something. It's not about dead works. It's not about trying to get something from God. It's that God has given us the power and the resources to manage our life, and we can choose to do it or not to do it. You see, the freedom that we have in Christ is like the freedom that a slave gets when he's set free from slavery. His debt's been paid. He's kind of even with the world. Now he can vote. Now he has the privileges of a citizen again. But he still has the responsibility of personal choice. And the word for freedom that we have in the New Covenant is that same word. So even though God has given us all of this and basically provided all the resources, it is then up to us to make the choices and manage these resources accordingly. So he says, give us this day our daily bread. Now that word give could be the word bring forth. In other words, it's not necessarily about getting God to do something that he hasn't already done. You see, God gave us the capacity or the power to get wealth. We all have the capacity or the power to get wealth. In the New Covenant, we have that in the form of grace. But remember, grace is a potential that only is activated whenever you begin to acknowledge God's truth. If you don't acknowledge God's truth as being real in your life, grace is not activated. In other words, the ability, the strength, the power of God is not activated. So on a daily basis, I want to open myself up So that I can experience God's provision in the area of finances. I want to be open to what God is doing with me financially. Because I want to tell you something. Staying free from financial lack and financial bondage is one of the primary factors in staying free to serve God as He leads. I can't tell you how many people I've known over 40 years of ministry that have failed to live God's purpose in their life because they did not manage their finances. They did not follow God's wisdom and the Holy Spirit's leading in how they spent their money, managed their money, and they end up financially bound. And then it really doesn't matter what God says to them because they are indebted and they can't make decisions free. I'll tell you something. Every single day, we want to be open to the fact that the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us, that the Good Shepherd is trying to take us down the path to abundant life. And we want to be open to what God shows us about finances, about success, about having our needs met for that particular day. And then the next thing Jesus takes us into is immediately dealing with forgiveness. And, you know, some people argue, it's like, well, wait a minute, this can't be a New Testament prayer because we already have forgiveness. You know something? We do have forgiveness, but that does not mean we're experiencing that forgiveness. And also, it doesn't mean that we're experiencing forgiveness on a horizontal plane to and from the people around us. And a key factor to avoiding temptation, and temptation would be anything that causes you to feel tested, tried, scrutinized, or solicited to sin, or anything that would make you strive in your life. If you don't resolve conflicts in your life, and if you don't experience God's forgiveness, I'm going to tell you something. You're always going to be striving. You're never going to be at peace. And when you're not at peace, you're not going to be free to hear where and how God is leading you. So he says, part of our prayer life should be, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now that word forgive, I was looking this word up because we know that the word means to send away. And I was looking this word up because anytime I reteach something, I always go back and look up all the original words again as if I've never studied them before. But one of the things that was interesting is this word means to separate from us. You see, in this passage of Scripture in the book of Matthew, it's not using the word sins where it says forgive us our debts or forgive us our trespasses. In the book of Luke, it uses the word sin, but in the book of Matthew, and Matthew was a very detailed person, in the book of Matthew, he uses the word trespasses, which seem to imply more about where we're overstepping boundaries, maybe even in relationship to other people, but we're overstepping boundaries. And this is not a matter of whether or not God, you know, has forgiven me of sin. This is a matter of me getting separated from it, getting separated from the emotional impact that it has on my life. And, you know, that's exactly what the Apostle John was talking about in 1 John when he talked about if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. John is not saying that we don't have forgiveness. He's saying literally in the original language that because he forgives our sins, that he's faithful and just in that. It's a faithful and just thing for him to forgive for our sins to be forgiven. But the key is, am I experiencing that forgiveness? And I got news for you. I'm not experiencing God's forgiveness. I do not have the capacity to experience the grace of God in the area of His forgiveness if I am not forgiving others, if I am not separating others from their trespasses. You know, a friend of mine wrote me an email, and he talked about this. He didn't use this passage of Scripture, and actually I never got a chance to answer him, but he talked about the fact, he said, you know, if I can separate a person from their offense, then it's easy for me to see them as God sees them, and so it's easy for me to forgive them. You know, that's true, and that's what he's talking about right here. Separate us from our trespasses in the same way that we separate other people from, you know, from their trespasses. So this puts us in a position where every single day we're making sure that we are freeing people from their emotional debts to us. Remember, the grace of God in your heart only gives you the capacity to receive what you have the willingness to give. And like if you don't, in the area of finances, we know this, in the area of finances, if you're not seeking generosity, you'll never get the grace for abundance. And it's the same way in forgiveness. If I'm not seeking to forgive others and to separate others from their offenses and their trespasses against me, then it's very unlikely that, number one, I'll be able to separate my trespasses from me and God, but also I won't be able to be free from the offenses that others bring into my life. And so, you know, we really don't know how much Jesus is referring to the fact that we need to experience the forgiveness that God's given about our sins toward Him, but also we need to experience separation from the influence of the trespasses that happen between us and others. You see, we are every single day, we want to make sure on an experiential level we are free from entanglements. We want to make sure we're free from unjustified anger. We want to make sure that we're free from bitterness. We want to make sure that we're free from wrath. We want to make sure that we're filled with mercy, because remember, whatever we sow, we reap. And so I'm establishing the kingdom in planet Earth because I'm making sure that my heart is functioning in the kingdom realm. You know, years ago, I had a pastor come to me and knock on my door, and he said, "You know, Jim," he said, "my son has been through a lot of the painful things that have happened in your life, and I just don't know what to tell him. You know, people are talking bad against him, people are criticizing him, lying about him." And he said, "I thought if anybody could tell me what to do here to share with my son to help him, it would be you." He said, "What do you do with the people that attack you and criticize you so much?" I said, it's real simple. The Bible says to bless those who curse you, to love your enemies, and to pray for to do good to those who hate you, and to pray for those who spitefully use you." And I said, there's nothing mystical to it. People do hateful things because they got hate in their heart. People do hurtful things because they got hurt in their heart. And you see, in this model prayer, I see Jesus saying, "Look, forgive people. Get this stuff out of your heart. Bless your enemies. You know, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to them. Pray for them." And I'm going to tell you something. As we minister to other people, we are establishing the kingdom of God. As we call them righteous, as we call them loved, and as we separate them from their offenses, something happens in our life. And I'm going to tell you something. It makes us able to go out and really we got the kingdom established in our heart, so now we're in peace. Now we can hear the voice of God. Now we can know and follow His direction into abundant living. But even more than that, now we can relate to the world around us in a way that establishes the kingdom in the lives of the people around us. I want to tell you something. Most of our prayer life needs to be about establishing the kingdom in us so that we take the kingdom to the world around us. This is how Jesus taught us to pray. I want you to join me in just a few minutes for a mentoring moment where I can show you some practical application to let this stuff activate and explode and energize into your life. You know, one of the things that you'll discover, there's not a situation in your life that is important enough to hold bitterness or anger or wrath or vengeance in your heart. You know, God is always trying to lead us. God's always trying to protect us. God is always trying to speak to us. And we know that even on a natural level, the way God created us, when these negative emotions are in our body, they give rise to an environment that facilitates all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So, you know, when I hold wrath and anger in my heart, I'm telling you something, I'm inviting the possibility of every kind of devastating disease. So first of all, just on the natural plane, God told me this so I could protect my physical body. But I'll tell you something, the Spirit of God's always trying to lead me, always trying to tell me the next step, always trying to show me how to solve problems, and maybe protect me from what's around the next corner. Well, you know something? I don't want to be entertaining hatred and anger and wrath or jealousy or vengeance or covetousness or any of these negative things. I don't want to be holding any of this in my mind in such a way that when God tries to speak to me, I don't recognize Him, I don't hear Him, or I'm not willing to yield to Him because I got some other agenda that I'm trying to work. I got news for you. You want to live at peace, because peace is the environment wherein the voice of the Holy Spirit, or should I say the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, is heard. I want to encourage you to do one of the most important things you can do for kingdom living. Every time you realize you have a negative feeling about anybody, either do it silently or if you had a place where you can do it out loud, I want you to begin to speak blessings over their life. No matter how vile, how mean, how hurtful they are, I want you to begin to call them blessed and prospered and righteous and loved of God. I want you to speak God's truth over their life so that they have every opportunity to know and feel the love of God the way you do. And I'll tell you something, when these people feel the love of God, they'll stop being mean people. When these people feel the love of God, they'll stop being hateful people. But whether they ever stop or not, whether they ever change or not, because you're being like your Father in heaven, you're going to experience the peace of God, and you're going to open yourself up to hear and follow the Holy Spirit.